24-hour community radio station.
FM. And you're very welcome back to Lifeline here on Near FM, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome Edwin Salmon, and I hope he is on the line. Edwin, good morning, are you there?
Good morning, I am here, yeah. How's it going?
Oh, that's grand, because I'm just a little bit rusty there now, as I was telling you there a few minutes ago. Edwin, you are a remarkable person, and you have a great attitude to life, as I was reading out to the listeners there earlier on. You're a stand-up comedian, and you've done loads of stuff before you even got to Bridget and Eamon. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But before you even got as far as that, it sounds to me like you're the type of person that you've seen the funny side and everything growing up and your life, and then you hit a serious illness, and that I think made you appreciate the small pleasures of life even more. Do you want to start off telling us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, well, basically I was born awfully, but I managed to overcome that.
Just stop, that's terrible.
Somehow. Well, actually, I used to joke about how growing up in Offaly was a terrible handicap, but actually I come from a lovely little town called Burr in County Offaly, which is one of those things where you never really appreciate it when you're a kid, you know?
Yeah, it's only when you grow up and you realise exactly the same things I was talking to about all my friends there. It's the kids these days, they don't appreciate. Now, I sound 100 here talking like that, but quite right.
Yeah.
It's only when it's too late that you kind of, well, not too late, but you know yourself.
Reminiscing. I found myself, you know, because I was lucky enough that when I got sick, I could move home for a while, so.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that when you're, you know, 17, 18, and you just kind of want to get out of your hometown and you know, experience exciting new places like Cork City.
Very exciting.
Where I lived for a number of years, but when you go back, you kind of go, this is actually quite a nice little town, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've had a lot of people compliment the town and say, you know, you shouldn't make fun of it. So I used to, but I stopped.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Burr. I was always really interested in movies. I wanted to be like a movie star.
You are a movie star in the making. You're getting there.
Maybe if they make a Bridget and Eamon movie. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But that would be good.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic! And we're going to get on to Zorro in a moment. But continue where you were there talking about
Good old Offaly. Growing up in Offaly, I did a lot of courses, college courses about you know, movie making and all that kind of stuff. So I did, you know, photography and etc. And then I just kind of. I don't know. I have a kind of an. I always had a natural way of making people, you know, laugh.
Yeah.
To try and put them at ease, I suppose.
Yeah, some people have that gift that they can make light of any situation, and they can just turn something into a joke without even knowing that they're just witty.
So I kind of, and I don't know where it comes from, because my parents wouldn't be naturally funny or witty or anything like that, but I mean, I think myself and my younger brother, when we were growing up, we'd always kind of, you know, record ourselves onto cassette tapes, as we call them, cassette tapes, which young people wouldn't have a clue.
I know
it was actual tape that was on a reel to reel tape. It sounds like something out of the 1920s.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know, and you'd be waiting for the DJ to stop, to be recording a song and waiting for the DJ to stop talking. Shut up, don't be talking over the end of the song. My mates won't think I'm cool.
that's what I used to do as well.
I could totally relate to that. I did
some stuff off the radio, whereas now you just go on Spotify and all music is there, it seems. Yeah, and then, I eventually moved to Dublin to do a film and television course in DIT, which I dropped out of and then I started doing stand-up, mainly because my brother, my younger brother, got sick of me talking about doing it. So, you know, I was thinking about doing it for a while, going, I don't know if maybe I could give that a go.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing it in the Halfpenny, mainly. I just got an open spot there and kind of half improvised my first set out of nerves more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Off the cuff.
And then just kept going at that. I've been doing it for about 10 years now. So
that's interesting that your brother pushed you into doing it. He must have had great faith in you and in your humour as well to give you that good kick in the arse, basically.
I think so. And he's, he's a very funny man himself now, but he wouldn't get up on stage and perform. But he's a good person to kind of sound things off, or I try out a joke, or I go, what do you think of this? And straight away he just kind of go, no, that's not funny.
He'd be out straight.
He's kind of cruel.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of cruel that way.
I know. But there's nothing worse when you go to stand-up comedy. I mean, I love the laughter lounge, and I love comedies myself. And you know the way sometimes you mightn't crack a great joke, and you're kind of and I go, oh, would you just clap for God's sake? They've the nerve to get up there, having the balls to do it in the first place. They deserve a clap, you know.
Yeah, that's the kind of. I mean, it's a weird thing if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like sometimes I still get nervous. I mean, I used to get very very nervous when I was starting out, because you're getting up there as a complete stranger and you have to say a line or a word and very quickly get spontaneous laughter from strangers who, mm-hmm. Who don't know you. So it helps that I've got a kind of a weird face and an upside down kind of head arrangement. So I kind of, people are laughing before I've even said anything, hopefully.
Well, I was looking at you last night on YouTube, and I'm not going to lie to you, when you ripped off that priest's uniform, I was in stitches and not even a word came out. And I just said to myself, oh my God. Now, I do watch Bridget and Eamon all the time, but you know yourself, like, I'm not a telly addict, and that's been honest with you. I'm always fluting around on the internet or whatever, but I would stop and watch Republic of Telly and the likes of that, but I'm not into soaps and all that malarkey, you know yourself. But just before we move off from the stand-up, any jokes, by the way, quick ones for us?
Well, I have. Whenever anyone asks me a joke, because I don't really do jokes, I did this thing where I have pretended to write a joke on a piece of paper, and at the start of a gig, I'll say, I have one joke here in my back pocket, so I'll pull that out at the end. So there's a joke coming at the end of all of this nonsense, and then I pull it out and I read it, and there's nothing on the paper, it's a blank piece of paper. But I pretend to read it and I just go, I suddenly and without warning decided to inform my girlfriend of the strange red mark on my leg. It was a rash decision. So, and then I just fold it away and go, there you go, there's another fun joke for you. Good night, everybody.
Not everybody will get that, though, you know what I mean? You get some people like, what does he mean by that? Like, do you want me to tell you a quick one? I know it's not about me, it's about you, but I can't help myself now. Come on, I have to tell you this one. And you being from Offaly, you'd appreciate this. So there's this fella from Offaly, and he's driving up to Dublin, and he's going along on the motorway, and next of all, beep-ba-beep-ba, gets pulled in by the guards. Guard gets him out of the car. He says, do you know your back brake light has gone there? He said, are you serious, guard? He says, I am. Come on and I show you. So he brings him around to the back of the vehicle, shows him, look it, and your man starts roaring, crying. What are you crying for? He says, where's my caravan gone? Do you like that?
Yeah, there you go.
That's my claim to fame now. Now, I'm really sorry about that, Edwin. You're probably saying, I hope that's not a sympathetic laugh.
No, not at all.
Edwin, you done a lot of stand-up in the UK as well. You were a part of a team over there.
In the UK?
Yeah.
News to me.
Did I say the USA?
No. No, so the UK. I've done like myself and Kevin McGarren from Republic of Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be good friends. I kind of said like unsure.
Well, we like each other sometimes. After a few Guinnesses now, he's sound.
Yeah, we were friends, but I was at his first ever gig, stand-up gig.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days when he was kind of weird and sort of like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
But we went to Edinburgh together as a couple and a comedy couple.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a week of shows in Edinburgh for the Fringe Festival, which was kind of I think I did like 3 or 4 gigs in one day because, you know, gigs start at, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning in various venues across the city, and we ended up doing like 10-minute sets at this midnight gig with these guys from Dublin that we knew. And that was kind of eye-opening. And I've done a few gigs at the weekend in Newcastle. In Newcastle!
Newcastle.
Which I can't do the accent for.
Oh, that'd be brutal now as well.
And that was interesting because gigs start very early in England, so you'd be finished for the evening at like, you know, 10 o'clock. So you can still go out and go on the lash.
Go out and go on the TK lemonade as we used to years ago. You'd have a vodka and TK red. Now it's a vodka and Red Bull.
Yeah.
I wonder would they notice the difference, the kids, if you gave them TK lemonade in their vodka.
Probably not in this culture that they live in now. God, I do sound like an old man sometimes.
No, there's two of us in it. You're not guilty on your own, Edwin. Edwin, now tell me this. Received the Ted Fast Golden Toilet Duck in 2011 for Best Comedian, and that was what led you to support Jason Bourne, Fred Cook, and Ardal O'Hanlon on your nationwide.
Yeah, I got a that was kind of my first big break, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was like a comedy competition, a sort of a battle of the comedians kind of thing, if you will. So I was the best comedian out of 16 comedians that were there that night. But I ended up getting to play the Electric Picnic and getting to support Ardal O'Hanlon as a result of that. And then that kind of opened a few more doors for me and got me more gigs and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then eventually I got my bigger break, which was Bridget Naiman, but that came out through, they were shooting sketches on Republic of Telly, and the producer of the show had seen me do stand-up and said, you know, do you want to come in and do some sketches and whatnot? I said, oh, yeah, okay. So they needed a priest for this funeral sketch.
And they didn't want Joe Rooney.
They didn't want Joe because
he's too holy.
He was too old and he was too busy hearing complaints.
Edwin, come here. Now, this is probably a really dumb... I am blonde, by the way. This is probably a real blonde question. Is the priest in Eamon what's her name again?
Bridget
and Eamon, yeah. Is the priest gay?
Well, I would say he's married to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I used to say he's just flamboyant. He's just
okay, right?
Enthusiastic.
Right, because I looked at a good few of them last night, and I was like, is he gay or isn't he gay? And I don't want to be making assumptions either, so to get the record straight, flamboyant, that's fine, that cuts it for me.
Flamboyant, yeah.
Lovely.
I mean, to be honest, I'm trying to play him very subtly so you can kind of keep people guessing. But
yeah, you know, I like it. That's a great idea. But you know something? You play him to a T. It's brilliant. I absolutely love your character. Fantastic. Congratulations on him, first of all, Edwin. Brilliant.
It's kind of built from, like I said, when I was doing... Actually, I think it's on YouTube. It's one of those Republic of Kelly sketches where every Irish funeral ever... And I tell people, you know, if you look at that sketch, I have cancer in that sketch. Because I also find that kind of funny.
Oh, my God.
I go, I have cancer in that sketch. But there I am playing a priest because I'm quite skinny and whatnot in the clip.
Yeah.
So it was during my, when I was having my treatment and whatnot.
So it obviously did not let you get it down. Kept your spirits high, and you're obviously born to be a comedian because your humour showed through. You were saying there that you had cancer whilst you were playing that part. Just goes to show you the dedication, but it actually must be obviously built inside you. It's a part of you to be a comedian.
Yeah, well, it was something that would keep me going, and mm-hmm. something I sort of, you know, look forward to. And I mean, I really remember the last gig I did before I went for my first surgery, and it was, I'm not boasting here, but it was, you know, at the risk of sounding like Donald Trump, it was a tremendous gig, wonderful gig, huge response, but I had a really good gig because I think subconsciously in the back of my mind I was thinking, this could be my last ever gig, like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, there's so many complications arise with a major surgery. So, yeah, I kind of really gave it my all. And then the first time I came back up to Dublin when I'd had my first surgery and I was kind of recovered from it, and I came up to Dublin for a few days, and I remember going into the International Comedy Club in town, and Aidan Bishop was there, and I was just kind of called in to say hello and whatever.
Yeah.
So straight away he goes, because Aidan's from New York, and he goes, "Hey, it's Sammons. I can't believe you're here." He goes, "You're looking great, man." He goes, "Hey, you want to do like 10 minutes? You want to go up and make some funnies, make the people laugh?" And I went, "Oh, yeah, cool, yeah."
Oh,
and I remember being incredibly nervous, and then going up and just getting the laugh again after it was well over. It was like a month and a half or something, or maybe longer than that.
Yeah,
since I'd been doing it, and it's such a natural adrenaline rush and endorphin rush.
Yeah,
and it was a great little. It was a great little moment, but you know, I mean, for me, it's the perfect when it goes right. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that was my audition for Bridget Naiman was doing those sketches on Republic of Telly because Jason Butler, who is the director, co-writer, producer of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was working on Republic of Telly at the time, so when they got the green light to do Bridget Naiman, it was simple. I got a phone call from him saying, "Do you want to play the priest in the series that we're making based on the characters in the show?" And I went, "Yeah." And I thought it was just like one episode, like a kind of one scene with the priest character. But then I went in for the read-throughs and I thought, I'm in all of these. Oh, that's cool. So it's been great, yeah. It's been nice getting recognised by middle-aged women at music festivals. It's become my life now.
Well, you know, I would put it on par with Mrs. Brown's Boys, and that's been honest with you. I would laugh the same as I'd laugh at Eamon and Bridget. And I think that the mechanics behind it and the characters behind it and the storylines, they're brilliant. And Irish people can relate to Eamon and Bridget because they're more 80s style, do you know, the kind of way where Brendan O'Carroll is more up to date, and he's kind of given a message because he's so famous and big, and fair play to him, you have to admire him for that as well. But the funniness of Eamon, like the car and everything that they have, my God, the state of it, you nearly feel, oh God, Jesus, they're going to be getting a push now in a minute, you know. And then you have the priest that shows up doing their hair, for God's sake. Oh, excuse me for taking the Lord's name in vain.
No, that's fine. God's sake, it's fine.
Edwin, you are going to be going on a little tour now in the next coming few months.
Yeah, a tiny little tour.
A tiny little tour. Would you want to start? Well, it's not tiny by the looks of things here. You're doing Belfast, Whelans, Cork, and you're also going to be over in Blanchardstown as well. So
yeah.
You've a good few coming up. Before we get to talking about that, if you don't mind, if you're not in too much of a hurry, if you don't mind, Edwin, do you want to tell us a little bit about your cancer, or would you prefer to keep that private?
No, I mean, if I prefer to keep it private, I wouldn't be doing a whole hour show about it.
No, I mean, what kind of was this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was diagnosed in September 2013. I was 36, so I was very young.
Oh my God!
It runs in the family. My mother had bowel cancer when I was 21. On my 21st birthday, she had her surgery.
Yeah.
So it kind of was on the lookout for it. Myself and my two brothers and my dad would have regular colonoscopies to check. So at the time, I was feeling, you know, I was pale. I was very kind of weak. And I had a pain in my stomach, basically.
Yeah.
So went in for the colonoscopy with my younger brother on the day I was told. So I was still in the bed, and he was dressed and finished, and I was told that the doctor needed to talk to me. So I kind of knew what was coming.
Yeah.
So then he said, "Yeah, we found a tumor."
Oh.
And I'm like, "Okay, right." So kind of what happens next, kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of shocking. It's sort of. You don't know what to say, or you don't know what to think.
The shock of it.
And my older brother arrived. He was the last person to arrive. My mum came over. My dad was there. My brother was there because we were all having our colonoscopies. And then my brother didn't. My mum came in and was kind of like straight away like, right, We'll sort this out. And actually, my mother is the priest, Father Gabriel's voice is my mother's voice.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Well, I needed a sort of an effeminate voice that I wouldn't forget.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you're shooting stuff, you know, you're shooting on certain days, and you might be in for one day, and then you might be back for another 3 days or something, so you might lose the voice. So I needed a voice that I could, you know, kind of get straight away. And funny enough, that was my mother's voice. But she came in and she was all business. She was kind of, right, we'll just beat this. No bother. You'll move home and we'll, you know, look after you and all that.
You'll mind you.
So I was lucky enough that I could move home and be minded and be, you know, driven to treatment and all this kind of stuff. So,
well, thank God you're all right, like, and you're better and you're able to laugh about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was it wasn't easy, but you know, you kind of have to find the positives in it. I mean, when you're diagnosed with bowel cancer, one of the first things they do is they check your liver, because it spreads from the bowel to the liver, you know, 9 times out of 10. And when they checked my liver, there was a tiny spot on the sort of periphery of my liver.
Yeah.
And my response was, great. because it means that they caught it early, basically, you know.
Brilliant. Excellent.
I didn't say that spread, but it was only like a tiny little bit. So I kind of went, yeah, that's good news, you know.
That's brilliant. Then you found the inspiration to make up your act, and you've a very successful act, actually, too, by the sounds of things, and you've moved on. Do you know something there that you just touched on that reminds me of the late Carolina Hearn? And God love her, she lost her fight with cancer last year, but an amazing comedian. And she started off her comedian career, or whatever you want to, how do you say that, your comical career, your comedian career, your career as a comedian? We'll have to take English lessons. Anyway, she started...
Your funny journey.
Yeah, your funny journey, exactly. I love it. But she started off like exactly what you just said there on her mam. So she based Mrs. Merton on her mother. And you said the same thing, that you'd keep in your mind the way that your mam was talking to you, and you could bring that into your act. Brilliant, awesome. Like, you know what I mean? Very smart.
It's just a kind of a, just sort of where it came from. I mean, I guess the joke of Father Gabriel is that he's gay, but he's never going to admit it, you know.
The plot. Oh, no, you see, you're slipping up now because you thought it was gay.
I know, I said it. But I mean, it's kind of, it's like this Irish repression thing, you know, where...
you're in the closet, stay in there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. To me, it's kind of... it's kind of inconsequential, really, because, you know, it's the same as a straight priest or a gay priest. They're still priests.
Yeah.
You know.
But like
they're
that,
never going to marry, so...
Yeah, but the way that you portray the character anyway, you're quite right. You do leave the audience dangling, so we don't know anyway. So
yeah,
it doesn't make any difference.
I always hate it when there's a line mentioning, you know, a male character on Dynasty wearing Speedos or something.
Now stop talking about Speedos.
Oh my God.
It's 10:30 in the morning, for the love.
I suppose, yeah. Speedos. Yeah, I suppose we could say more.
Oh,
it just conjures up a mental image of a man tight short.
Hey, Edwin, you're gas.
For that, what you will.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm only doing a small tour because I really don't know how famous I am, how much of a draw I am. So I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water with this.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say that. I was indeed going to say that. And before we let you go, I'm going to give out the dates. And if I'm wrong, you can correct me. You're going to be performing on the 3rd of February in Black Box, Belfast. And it's only £10. And £8 if you're an old age pensioner, or senior citizen, rather. The 9th... the 9th and the 10th of February in Whelan's. Only £15 or €12 discount. The 18th of February, City Limits, Cork. And the 31st of March, Dragot Studio, Blanchardstown, €14 to €12. Absolutely brilliant. And I am just so looking forward to seeing how you get on there. And I know you're going to be successful. Sure, look, you're all over the place.
Hopefully. That's it. And hopefully I'll be all over the place in the future.
Yeah.
Unless this is the last you hear.
Edwin, do you know something? You're a remarkable man, and you've turned something, a negative, into such a positive. And I know you're like, we've been speaking a half an hour and we're only touching the iceberg, so we're going to have to get you on again to let us know how you got on, because you're such an inspiration to people. And I hope that there's people that are out there, and God love them if they are going through dealing with sicknesses, look at you and look at how it's turned your life around, and positivity. And we have had a lady on the programme on numerous occasions, Bernadette Bowen, who big speaker about cancer, and one of the things that people that she helped always said, happiness always lifts the spirit and makes you, and it does make you live longer, and watching happy movies and joking and all, so that's a part
absolutely
of the recovery.
Scientifically proven,
yes.
If you laugh, it increases your lifespan.
It does indeed. And you've made us laugh here this morning on Lifeline, and it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Thanks very much.
Edwin Salmon, really looking forward to talking to you again. You have to come back now, the 31st of March. All right. I want to be talking to you in April. Please come back and let me know what's going on.
Will do. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, and continuing success to yourself, and well done. Thanks a million, Edwin. I'd be giving out all those dates before the end of the programme. Thanks, Edwin.
Thanks very much.
Morning.
Bye-bye.
And that was Edwin Salmon there, and it's Edwin Salmon versus Cancer, and he's going to be playing Belfast, Whelans, Cork and Blanchardstown. I'll be giving those details out before the end of the programme.